B'siyata d'shmaya, we're going to learn Moed Katan Daf Chof. We're going to start six lines from the bottom of Daf Yotes Amud Beis. Says the Gemara, Boi mine abaya mirova. Others have a version Rabba, but we'll conform with the text of our Gemara. Abaya asked Rava the following question. Kvori beregel. If unfortunately a person buried a relative of theirs, one of the close relatives, father, mother, son, daughter, brother, sister, wife, on Yontov. Regel oile loy leminyan shloishim, oy ein regel oile loy leminyan shloishim. The question is that when does the shloishim start? The 30 days of shloishim, do they start at the burial, or do they start when you actually start sitting shiva, which is after Yom Tov? Says the Gemara. The Gemara is going to explain itself. Leminyan shiva loy kumiboyeli. That's clear that as far as shiva, that the shiva does not start till after Yom Tov. Deloy nago mitzvahs shiva beregel, because the halachas of shiva, those halachas that are unique to shiva, do not apply on Yom Tov. So you didn't conform to any of the restrictions of shiva on Yom Tov. There's no reason in the world that it should be counted as shiva days. Somebody was buried a relative on Yom Tov. The shiva starts after Yom Tov. Deloy nago mitzvahs shiva beregel. However, Abaye says, you know what my question is? Leminyan shloishim, regarding the shloishim. Dekon noago mitzvah shloishim beregel. Because the restrictions of shloishim, you actually conform to them on Yom Tov. It happens to be that the reason you conform to them may not necessarily have been because it's shloishim, but just because it's Yom Tov. For example, gihutz, which is pressing clothes, and tespiras, and having a haircut, these are things you can't do on Yom Tov either. So it could be that since on Yom Tov you were definitely conforming with those restrictions that also apply during Shloshim, maybe it counts as Shloshim days. My, what's the halacha? Omerle. So Rava said to Abaya, Einoy Oile. No, Yom Tov is not considered because since the Shiva hasn't started yet till after Yom Tov, the Shloshim do not start till after Yom Tov. Eisvei. Abaya is now asking a question against Rava from a Braisa. And the braisa is split into two parts. The first part is going to be speaking about somebody. It depends when a person buried their relative on Yom Tov. Hakoyver es meisoy shnei yomim koydem aregel. If somebody buried a relative 2 days before Yom Tov, then what does he do? We saw in our Mishnah and in a braisa before, but we've seen that at least some opinions hold that if you haven't had 3 days before Yom Tov, then the Yom Tov is not going to break up the Shiva, it's not going to stop the Shiva, you actually have to carry on the Shiva after Yom Tov. So if you had 2 days before Yom Tov, Moine Chamisha Yomim Achar HaRegel, then after Yom Tov is over, you have to sit the extra 5 days of Shiva. Melachto Inasis Alidei Achirim, and if he's got work that needs to be done, others are allowed to do it for him. This is assuming, I mean, even in his house, even though the Tosis brings out here, even though we saw in Daf Yud Aleph Amud Beis that others are not allowed to do work in his house, it could be, so Tosis discusses that. We don't need to go into that now. But Melach Dinas Alidei Achirim, Ve'avodov V'Shevchoysov Oisim Betzina, and his slaves and his maids are allowed to do the work for him discreetly. B'soich Beisoy, even in his house. Even in his own house, they're allowed to do it discreetly. Ve'ein rabim misaskim imoy. However, as far as the public are concerned, that when people come in to console him, to offer him condolences, that they do not need to do after the Yom Tov. Why? Shekvar nisasku imoy beregel. Because he's finished the Shiva over Yom Tov, which means this person started sitting Shiva 2 days before Yom Tov. Yom Tov, let's assume it's Pesach, it's Sukkot, is a week. So he started Shiva 2 days before Yom Tov. The first 5 days of Yom Tov, even though he's not keeping the halachas of Shiva because it's Yom Tov, but people can still console him. The mitzvah of Nichum Avelim can be done even on Yom Tov. And therefore, as far as the rabbim, the public, coming to do their work and their chesed of Nichum Avelim, they've already finished that. As far as that's concerned, the Shiva is over. The other restrictions, his own private restrictions, he's only had 2 days before Yom Tov, he's going to have another 5 after Yom Tov. Klolei Sheldova, the rule is, Kol Shu Mishum Ovel, Regel Mafsikoi. Kol Shu Mishum Iskei Rabbim, Ein Regel Mafsikoi. which means anything which is to do with the private halachas of the person in mourning, then the regel interrupts the shiva and you continue after Yom Tov, assuming that you didn't have 3 days before Yom Tov. However, kol shu mishum iski rabim, anything that's to do with the engagement of the public coming to console him, ein regel mafsika, you continue doing that through the Yom Tov until 7 days after the burial, and then that's it. Now, we just saw now that any halachas to do with the Ovel himself, regel mafsikoi, he temporarily stops and says, over Yom Tov, the halachas don't apply, the restrictions don't apply, after Yom Tov will carry on. But that's only regarding the halachas of Shiva, and the Shiva days, you start before, you carry on afterwards. Regarding Shloshim, it goes without saying that since the Avelis has started, that all the Yom Tov days are included in the Shloshim. It means we don't cut the Yom Tov days out and then be mashlim and complete the Shloshim days by adding on extra days. That's only by Shiva, if there were not 3 days before. But for Shloshim, it's clear that the regel is not mafsik, and the days of Yom Tov are considered oileloi. They are accounting with the days of the Shloshim. And that's not a contradiction to what Rava said. Because what did Rava say? Rava said that regel oileloi leminyan Shloshim. The Yom Tov is counted in the Shloshim. And so far, this Braisa is not contradicting Rava at all. The Braisa is talking about somebody who buried somebody 2 days before Yom Tov, and the Braisa says that regarding Shiva, it depends if it's halachas of the Ovel, halachas of the public, but we explained that as far as the Shloshim are concerned, the Yom Tov days are definitely included. Rava was talking about if somebody buried somebody on Yom Tov, and he said he buried them on Yom Tov, it's Einoi Oile, the Shloshim only start after Yom Tov. So the first part of the Braisa is not a contradiction to Rava at all. Let's see the second part of the Braisa. Kovroi Shloisha Yomim B'Soif HaRegel. If somebody buried somebody on the third last day of Yom Tov, on Yom Tov, third last day, Chol HaMoed is included in, is called Yom Tov in this context. Kovroi Shloisha Yomim B'Soif HaRegel. Then the burial was the last three days was before. Before the end of Yom Tov, then Moine Shiva Achar HaRegel. Then the Shiva itself starts only after Yom Tov. You can't start Shiva on Yom Tov. And what's the halachas? The halachas are that Arba Yomim Horishoinim, the first 4 days after Yom Tov, which is day 4, 5, 6, and 7 from the burial, because the burial was 3 days before the end of Yom Tov, then Rabbi Miss Askinboy, the public continue coming in to him to console him. It would seem from here that as far as the halachas of Nichum Aveilim are concerned, it starts from the kvura, from the burial, even though it was in the middle of Yom Tov. So he's had 3 days where the shiva hasn't really started, but people are doing Nichum Aveilim. So Nichum Aveilim only needs another 4 days. That's the first 4 days after Yom Tov. Rabbi Miss Askinboy, people, the public continue to come and offer their condolences. Shloisha yomim achreinim, the last 3 days of the shiva, ein rabbi misaskim boy, then the people do not need to continue with nichum aveilim, shekvar nisasku beregel, because they already started doing that from the time of the burial, which was 3 days before the end of Yom Tov. And we already had 3 days of the end of Yom Tov plus 4 days afterwards. Veregel oileloi. These last three words is the important words here. It's all important, but the ones that Abaya is bringing this braisa for, that v'regel oileloi, which means that the Yom Tov is included in the Shloshim, which means when did we start counting Shloshim? At the burial, the third last day of Yom Tov. So what do we see here? We see here explicitly at the end of this braisa that if somebody was buried on Yom Tov, third last day, that the Shloshim already started. Rava said explicitly that if somebody was buried on Yom Tov, then the Shloshim doesn't start till after Yom Tov. That's going to be the question. My love, can we not assume a sefer that these last three words, v'regel oileloi, that the Yom Tov is included in the Shloshim, is talking about the sefer, the second case, when he was buried the third last day of Yom Tov, in which case it's a question against Rava. Answers the Gemara, loi, areisha. It could be that these last three words, v'regel oileloi, is going back on the first case where somebody was buried 2 days before Yom Tov. And as we saw at the beginning of the Braisa, so the end of the Braisa says, v'regel oileloi, in that case, irrespective of the halachas of Shiva itself, which ones do apply. Nichum Aveilim continues over Yom Tov, the Shiva for the Ovel itself gets interrupted and gets made up after Yom Tov, but V'regel Oileloi is definitely Shloshim. The Shloshim is definitely counted from the time of the burial, which is 2 days before Yom Tov, and that's not a contradiction to Rava. So the Gemara says that these last three words, the end of the Brisa, may well be referring to the first case, and therefore it's not a question against Rava. Asks the Gemara another question against Rava. Abai is asking, Esvei, Regel Oileloi Leminyan Shloshim, that the Yom Tov is included in the Shloshim days. Ketzad, in what case? As follows. Kovroi b'tchilas haregel. For example, if somebody buried a relative on the first day of Yom Tov, the beginning of Yom Tov, moine shiva achar regel, then the shiva starts only after Yom Tov. U'melachto inasis alidei achirim, and other people during the shiva week, other people can do the work for this person in mourning. His slaves and maids can work for him even in his home. People do not need to come and console him because the burial was at the beginning of Yom Tov. He's already had a week where people could come and do Nichum Aveilim. Therefore, they don't need to continue doing that. And regarding the Shloshim, the Yom Tov is included, which means from the burial is already we start the Shloshim. And here it's talking about that the burial was on Yom Tov, at the beginning of Yom Tov. And this is very clearly against what Rava said, that Rava said that if the burial was on Yom Tov, the Shloshim don't start till after Yom Tov. Says the Gemara Tufta, indeed it's a refutation against Rava. Ke'osa Ravin Omer Rabbi Yechanon, it was said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon that afilu kovri beregel, that even if he was buried on Yom Tov, then it is oileloi, not like Rava, and the Shloshim start at the burial. V'chein oiri le Rabbi Elazar Rav Pados, Berei Rabbi Elazar told Rav Pados his son, afilu kovri beregel, even if the burial was on Yom Tov, the Shloshim starts immediately at the burial. Ton Rabbonon, we learned in a brisa, kiyem kfiya samito, Shloisha Yomim. We've learned that Kfiya Samito, one of the lochas of the Shiva, is that one turns one's bed upside down, one doesn't sleep on the bed in a normal fashion, one turns it over. And this is a locha which may not apply today. It's a discussion, as we've said earlier on when we started these halochas, nobody should make any halachic rulings and conclusions from these sugyas. Halochas of Avelis are complicated, and their practical application is complicated, and one has to have either Sforim that are teaching us exactly what to do with Haskomas and Sforim in Halacha, or to ask a Rav, but not to Paskin from the Gemoras. Kiyim Kfiya Samito. If he did the Halacha, which is recorded in the Gemara, and the Mishnah is in the Gemara, that one turns a bed over in the week of Avelus, Shloisha Yomim Koidem Aregel, which means he did that for 3 days before Yom Tov, which means he's been sitting Shiva before Yom Tov for 3 days, then after Yom Tov is over, he doesn't need to continue doing that. The Hashiva is over, Divi Reb Eliezer. The Chachomim say, Afilu Yom Echod, Afilu Shoa Achas. So, and the truth is that the Reb Eliezer here is conforms with what we've seen till now in the Brises and the Mishnah, that in order for Yom Tov to cut off and totally interrupt the Shiva, there has to have been Shiva 3 days before Yom Tov. Otherwise, if it's only been 2 days or 1 day, one carries on and makes up the Shiva days after Yom Tov for all the halachas excluding the Nichum Aveilim, as we saw before. However, the Chachomim here argue with that, and this seems to be the halacha, that if the Shiva even started just a day before, or even an hour before, exactly what an hour means, we don't need to discuss now, but even just a short time before the onset of Yom Tov, the person sat Shiva, if somebody was buried an hour before Yom Tov, and his relatives sat Shiva for 1 hour before Yom Tov, then Yom Tov interrupts the Shiva entirely. Omer Blazber Shimon, Hein hein divrei b'shamay, hein hein divrei b'silel. This machloikus, Rabbi Loza, Rabbi Eliezer, and the Chachomim, as to whether you need 3 days before Yom Tov, or even just an hour before Yom Tov, in order for Yom Tov to totally stop the Shiva, is actually a machloikus b'shamay b'silel. She b'shamay oimrim shloisha yomim, or b'silel oimrim afilu yom echod. B'shamay say you need the 3 days, b'silel say 1 day is enough. Omer vuno, Omer b'chia bar abba, Omer b'ichron. It was said in the name of Rabbi Yechanon, V'omri lo, Omri lei Rabbi Yechanon, Rabbi Chia bar Abba, Ulu Rav Huna. Others have a different version. It was Rabbi Yochanan said it to Rabbi Chiya, Bar Abba and Rav Huna, Afilu Yoimechod Afilu Shoachas, like we saw before from Bez Hillel, like we saw in the Braisa from the Chachomim, an hour before Yom Tov is enough that the Yom Tov will then totally stop the Shiva. Rava Omar, Halocha Ketana Didon Do Omar Shleisha. Rava Paskund, 3 days, like it says in our Tana. We saw it in the Braisa, we saw it in the Mishnah. Ravina Ikle Lesura De Pros. Ravina was visiting the place of Surah on the river Pros. Omar li Rav Chaviva le Ravina. Rav Chaviva said to Ravina, Hilcha Samai, what's the halacha in this discussion? Omar li Afilu Yemechod, Afilu Shoachas, even one day, even just an hour before Yom Tov is sufficient, if they've sat Shiva, that it stops the Shiva altogether. Continues the Gemara, Yosef, Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Ami, Rav Yitzchok Nafka. These three Chachomim were sitting together, Rav Chiya bar Abba, Rav Ami, and Rav Yitzchok Nafka. Akilo de Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elozar, in the home, in the proximity of Rabbi Yitzchok ben Elozar. Nofak milsa mi benayu. A matter came to their attention. They were discussing it. What were they discussing? Minayin la avelus shiva. What's the source? We all talk about shiva. We know about shiva. It's unfortunate, but it happens. What's the source of 7 days of shiva? Answers the Gemara. The Chesiv is a pasuk in Omois. The pasuk says, "Vofachti chageichem le'evel." I've turned your festivals, your yomim tovim, to mourning. Ma'achag shiva. In the same way as your typical yom tov, Pesach, Sukkot, is 7 days. Afavelus shiva. So too, the time of mourning corresponds to that and is 7 days. Says the Gemara. All it says there is that the festivals, the Yomim Tovim, became the time of Avelis. Maybe it's Shavuos. Shavuos is just one day. So maybe you only have a source that what we call Shiva is just one day. Ve'ema atzeres dechad yoima, says the Gemara, no. Because ha'humi boi lilikad Rish Lakish. Da'omer Rish Lakish mishum Rabbi Yehuda Nesia. Minayin l'shmua rechoika. What happens? There's another halacha. What happens if somebody hears a shmua rechoika, a delayed report? Which means he didn't hear, there was no... Technology wasn't like today, where it's an instant being in touch and one knows exactly what's going on far away. So sometimes if somebody never passed away in a faraway place, it can take a day, a week, a month, it can take years, it can take any amount of time until relatives would hear that one of their relatives had passed away in some distant place. What happens if somebody heard a delayed report, which means that we'll soon see how long that is. It's going to be after 30 days. If somebody heard that a relative passed away, but heard about it after the 30 days from the burial, she'ena neheges elo yom echod, then the avelus is only practiced one day. Tichsiv, as it says in the pasuk, the very same pasuk, v'afachti chageichem le'evel, that your yom tov will be turned to mourning. Yom tov v'ashkechon atzeres de'ikra chad yoma chag. And chageichem could be shavuos. Shavuos is just one day, and it's called a chag. So if we have a shmua rechoika, it's just one day. So the Gemara says, since the pasuk says that I've turned your chageichem to evil, we have two types of chagim. We have one of 7 days, one of one day. So what does it mean? The answer, it means both. If it's a shmua rechoika, it's one day. If it's a shmua kroiva, if it's a current report, and it's not past 30 days, then Shiva is 7 days. Continues the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan. Shmua Kroiva, if somebody hears a current report that one of his relatives passed away, Neheges Shiva Ushleishim. They practice the restrictions of Shiva for a week and the restrictions of Shleishim until the end of the Shleishim. Shmua Rechoika, however, a more delayed report, Einu Neheges Eliyem Echod, then the mourning is only for one day. Ezui Kroiva Ve'ezui Rechoika, how far or how long is a current report or a delayed report? Kroiva is b'seich shleishim. Within 30 days, it's called a current report, and there's a regular shiva and shleishim. Rechoika lacha shleishim. But if you hear about it after the shleishim, that's called a shmua rechoika. Divi Rebbe Kiva, that's Rebbe Kiva's opinion. V'chachomim oimrim, achas shmua kroiva, v'achas shmua rechoika, neheges shiva ushleishim. The Chachomim argue with Rebbe Kiva and say no. When, it doesn't matter when you hear about it. Whenever somebody hears that a relative has passed away, he sits shiva and keeps shleishim. Omer Rabbi Rabbachon, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, kol mokim shetamoytze yochid meikel v'rabim machmirim. Whenever you find that there's an individual that is being lenient and a the majority, and you have many who are stringent, halacha karabim, the general rule would be you follow the most, the majority. Chutz mizu, besides for here, she'afal pi Rabbi Akiva meikel, even though Rabbi Akiva is the more lenient one and says that by Shmuah Rechoika, there's only one day of mourning, not Shiva and Shloshim, v'chachomim achmirim, and the chachomim, who are the majority, they are more stringent. And they say that you keep Shiva and Shloshim even on a Shmuah Rechoika. Nonetheless, halacha k'Rabbi Akiva. The halacha is like the lenient opinion of Rabbi Akiva, who is just an individual. Doma Shmuel halacha k'Rabbi Ramekel ba'ovel. We've already seen this on Daf Yud Ches, on Daf Yud Tes. We're going to still see it a couple of times, that in halachas of mourning, we always follow the lenient opinion, as Shmuel said. Continues the Gemara. Reb Chanina asya le Shmuel da'avua mi beichuzo. Reb Chanina, he heard that his father had passed away from a place in Bovel, in a place called Beichuzoi. Also lekamei de Rav Chisda. He came to Rav Chisda. Omer le, and he asked him, he said to him, Shmua rechoika, eine neheges elo yoim echod. He said to him that, like Rabbi Akiva said, since it's a Shmua rechoika, the mourning is only one day, it was after 30 days from when he had passed away. Rav Nosson bar Ami, also le Shmua di imei mi Beichuzoi. Reb Nosson heard that his mother had passed away in this place in Beichuzoi, and it was after 30 days. Also lekameda Rava, he asked Rava what to do. Omar Lei Rava told him, Hare Omru, Shmuah Rechoika Einu Neheges Elo Yoim Echod Bilvat. Again, like Reb Akiva, as we saw, the halacha is like Reb Akiva. If it's after 30 days, there's only one day of mourning. So we're going to ask now a question against what Rava just said, that Shmuah Rechoika is only one day. Bamed Varim Amurim, B'chamisha Meisei Mitzvah. Of the seven relatives, there's two groups. What are the seven relatives? Father, mother, brother, sister, son, daughter, wife. Says that's two groups. There's the father, mother, which are a certain type of relative, and then you've got the others. Brother, sister, son, daughter, and wife. So he says the five, excluding the father and mother, that's true that Shmuah Rechoika. Okay, we'll soon see. What does it say in the Braisa? B'medvar mur b'chamisha mesei mitzvah, aval al oviv al imoy, however, for father and a mother, shiva or shloishim. There you have shiva and you have shloishim, even on a Shmuah Rechoika. That's not what we said. Rava just said, halacha is, and like we saw before from Rabbi Akiva, that a Shmuah Rechoika is only one day. But did we not just learn now in the Braisa that that's only true if for the other five relatives, but for parents, that's not true? And over here, with the case of Rava, he gave a ruling to Rav Nosson about his mother, that the Rav Nosson's mother had passed away. It was a Shmuah Rechoika. He said just one day. Did we not just say now that for parents, even a Shmuah Rechoika, there's Shiva and Shloshim? Omar Leis, Rava answered back to Rav Nosson and said to him, Yechidahi. He says that this Braisa, which was a type of a disclaimer, it's not Rabbi Akiva. It's not Rabbi Akiva. It's not the halacha that we saw before, it's just the opinion of an individual. And we don't hold like this braisa. We hold that when Rabbi Akiva said that even a Shmuah Rechoika is just one day, it's even for parents. Tanya, we learned in a braisa, Maisa, there was an incident to Meis Aviv Shel Rabbi Tzodik beGinzak. Rabbi Tzodik's father passed away in Ginzak, a name of a place. It took 3 years till they told Rabbi Tzodik that his father had passed away. And they asked Elisha ben Avuya, this is, the Mefarshim say, this is probably not the infamous Elisha ben Avuya, but we won't go there now. It was a Kenim Shimoy and the elders that were with Elisha ben Avuya, V'omru, they said as follows. They told Reb Tzadok, Nehoik Shiva or Shloshim, that you should practice the restrictions of Shiva and Shloshim. So we see from here that it was this Elisha ben Avuya with those who are with him who actually ruled, like the Chachomim, that even a Shmuah Rechoika is Noog Shiva or Shloshim. So here's the opinion that Rava was talking about. Rava said, you found me a Braisa that regarding a father and a mother, a Shmuah Rechoika is Shiva and Shloshim. Yeah, it's Elisha ben Avuya was Kenim She'imoy, but we don't pask in that way. We rule like Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva said that even a Shmuah Rechoika for parents, there's only one day of mourning. Continues the Gemara. Ukeshameis benoy shel Rabbi Achia begoila. When the son of Rabbi Achia died in the Goila, Yoshev alof Shiva o Shloshim, even though it was a Shmuah Rechoika, he also ruled like the Chachomim that one sits Shiva and Shleishim, even though it's a Shmur Chayka. Asks the Gemara Eini, you just mentioned Rabbi Achia, who says that Shmur Chayka, you sit Shiva and Shleishim, not just one day. V'harav bar achua de Rabbi Achia, dehu bar achse de Rabbi Achia. Kisolik lasam, I'm just going to read the words, then we're going to explain what the situation is, and then it will all make sense. Kisolik lasam omar le, abokayim, omar le imakayimis, omar le imakayimis, omar le abokayim, omar le leshame, etc. So let's see what the story was, and no one's going to get confused. And we already mentioned this, but we didn't explain it on Daf Tezayin on the base, and it's important that we understand what happened here. And what happened was like this. There was somebody called Reb Achoy. This Reb Achoy had two marriages. He had, in a first marriage, he was married to Leah and had a son called Aivu. That was the first marriage of Reb Achoy. And then Reb Achoy had a second marriage. He married Rachel and had two children. He had Reb Chia and another brother. And that brother had a son called Rabba, but that's not important now. Now this Reb Chia, who was born from Reb Acha's second marriage to Rachel. So his father was Reb Acha, and his mother was Rachel. But this Rachel, in her first marriage, was married to somebody else and had a daughter. So what's very interesting here, you had this Reb Chia, who he had a father, Reb Acha, and a mother, Rachel. His father had a son from a previous marriage, and his mother Leah and his mother Rachel had a daughter from a previous marriage. So what's the relationship between Reb Chia's half-brother and half-sister? Nothing. They're not related, because Aivu's parents was Reb Acha and Leah, and this other daughter was Rachel and some other man were her parents. It happened to be that the mother of this girl and the father of Aivu, who was Reb Acha, they got married in their second marriage to each other and had this child, Reb Chia. So what happened was that Aivu and that girl got married and had a son called Rav. So this Rav was actually the son of, that means the father of Rav was this Aivu, who was a half-brother to Reb Chia. Reb Aivu shared the same father as Reb Chia, Reb Acha. Just Aivu was born from Reb Acha's first marriage and Reb Chia from his second marriage. This girl, the mother of Rav, was a half-sister of Reb Chia because they shared the same mother, Rachel. Even though the Reb Chia was from Rachel's second marriage with Reb Acha, and this girl was from from Rachel's first marriage with somebody else. So we've got here somebody who is the son of Reb Chia's brother and the son of Reb Chia's sister. Normally you can't have that. You can't be the son of somebody's brother and sister because brothers and sisters can't get married. But a half-brother and a half-sister who are not sharing the same parents at all, they can get married. So here you've got a situation that Rav was the son of Reb Chia's brother and the son of Reb Chia's sister. Half-brother and half-sister. That is who this Rav was. So let's now read this inside. V'harav, this Rav, bar achva de Reb Chia, who was the son of the brother of Reb Chia, the half-brother of Reb Chia. That means Rav's father, Eivu, shared the same father as Reb Chia, that was Reb Acha. Dehava bar achse, he was also the son of the sister de Reb Chia, of the same Reb Chia, because his mother shared the same mother as Reb Chia. This was Reb Acha's second wife, Rachel. So Kisolik, when Rav came lehosam to Eretz Yisrael, Omar Le, Reb Chia, who was the half-brother of Rav's father and mother, so this Reb Chia asked Rav, Abba, is your father Aivu, my half-brother, we share the same father, is Kaim, is he still alive? He didn't want to tell him the sad news. So he said to him, Omar Le, so Rav responded to Reb Chia, Imo Kayemes, you asked me about my father, your half-brother. Why don't you ask me about your mother? Why don't you ask me about my mother, your half-sister? Because you share the same mother as her. Omar Le, so Reb Chia said to Rav, okay, you're right. Imo kayemes, is your mother, my half-sister, still alive? Omarli, Abokayim, you're asking me about my mother, your sister. Ask me about my father, your brother. He didn't want to give him the sad news, but the truth is that Rav was needed to give Rav Chiya the message that both parents of Rav, Rav Chiya's half-brother, Aivu, and half-sister, had both passed away. Omar Leila Shami, when Rav Chiya realized this, then Rav Chiya said to the person who was attending to him, Chaloitzli min olai, remove my shoes. This was a Shmur Choyka. He said, remove my shoes. Because you have to have some, you have to do some avelus. Number one. Number two, v'hoylech acharei keilai lebeis hamerchatz. I want you to come with me with my clothes, with what I need, to the bathing, to the bathhouse. You're not allowed to have a bath in the middle of Shiva. But he removed his shoes, which means he practiced the halachas of Shiva for a short while. And he says, and now straight to the bathhouse. Shiva's over. Shema minotlas. Three halachas we learn from here. Shema minot, number one, we learn oval osa ben ilas asandal. He took off his shoes as an expression of mourning. So you see that one has to, that in Shiva one has to remove one's shoes. Ushma minot, the second halacha we see, shmur rechoyko einu neheges elu yoymechod. That since it was a delayed report, the halachas, the restrictions only apply one day. Ushma minot, we also see that miktas hayem kekuloi, it doesn't even need to be a whole day. Just part of a day is enough. And that's why just removing his shoes was enough. And then he says, now I can go to the bathhouse and have a bath, because for all intents and purposes, Shiva is over by those few minutes that I had removed my shoes. So we have a question here. First, you mentioned that when the son of Reb Achia passed away, then it was a Shmur Choyka, and his father sat Shiva and Shloshim, even though it was a Shmur Choyka. And here we have the story with Reb Chia, that Reb Chia only kept it one day, only part of a day, but certainly not Shiva and Shloshim. That was the question of the Gemara. Answers the Gemara, Reb Chia Lechud, Reb Achia Lechud. In the question, you assume that Reb Achia and Reb Chia are the same person. And the answer is, it's not the same person. So Reb Achia, he ruled like the Chachomim, that even Shmur Choyka has regular mourning. And Reb Chia held like the Halacha, like Reb Akiva, that Shmur Choyka is only one day. Omer Reb Yossi Bar Ovin, Shoma Shmur Kroiva Beregel. If somebody hears in the middle of Yom Tov that one of his relatives had died within the last 30 days, but by the time Yom Tov was over and he can actually start sitting Shiva, Nasis Rechoyka was ready after 30 days. He sits Shiva, he doesn't sit Shiva. Then the Yom Tov days is like a continuation of making this into a Rechoyka, and since the Shiva in practical terms didn't start till after Yom Tov, therefore, it's like a Shmur Choyka, there's only one day of mourning. Tony Reb Abba Domin Kisri, Reb Abba from Kisri, Kameder Reb Yechanon. He was teaching before Reb Yechanon. Shoma Shmur Kroiva B'Shabbos. If you heard on Shabbos that one of his relatives had died about 30 days earlier, Ulamotza Shabbos Nasis Rechoyka. By the time it comes to Motza Shabbos and he can start the Shiva, it's already day 31. It's a Shmur Rechoyka. Eina Noeg Eloyim Echod. One only practices the Shiva, so to speak, in the morning for one day. Continues the Gemara. Kirea or Eina Kirea. So we've discussed the morning, one day, that if it's a Shmur Rechoyka, you only keep one day of mourning. Okay. One tears Kirea, one rents one's clothes like an oval does at the beginning of Shiva, or not? Kirea or Eina Kirea. Reb Mani Omar Eina Kirea. Reb Mani says, Shmur Rechoyka, you don't tear Kriya. Reb Chia Omar Kriya? Chia argues and says you do. Omali Reb Mani Reb Chanina. Reb Mani, who said you don't tear Kriya, said to Reb Chanina, who said you do tear Kriya, Bishleimu Ladidi, according to me, Da'amino Einu Kriya, I say you don't do Kriya. Hainu, then it makes sense. Deloy Ika Avelis Shiva. That since there's no Shiva, because it's a Shmur Rechoyka, you just practice some form of mourning for part of that day, and that's it. But you can understand, you don't do Kriya because there's no halachas of regular Shiva. That makes sense. Deloy ikka velus Shiva. Avale detcha de omres Kriya. You say that you do Kriya. Kriya beloy Shiva mi'ikka. Do you ever find such a thing as needing to tear Kriya even though there's no sitting Shiva? So he answered him back. Rav Chanina answered back to Rav Mani, veloy. You never heard such a thing? V'otoni isi avua de Rav Zeira. did Isi, the father of Zerah, not teach as follows? Omri lo achua de Rab Zerah, some say it was the brother of Rab Zerah, kamedu Rab Zerah before Rab Zerah. Did they not teach as follows? The Braisa, Misha ein loy choluk lekriya. If somebody doesn't have a garment to do kriya, when he has to do kriya at the beginning of the Shiva, v'nizdamin loy b'teich Shiva, and within the Shiva, he gets a garment. Kriya, he does kriya when he gets his garment. La'achar Shiva, but if you receive the garment and the ability to tear kriya is only after the end of the 7 days of mourning, ain't a kriya. You don't do kriya. And when Rab Zerah heard this, either from Isi his father or from his brother, whoever it was, Oni Rab Zerah Basrei, Rab Zerah responded saying, "Bamei dvarim amurim, when is that true? B'chamish ha'masei mitzvah. That's only for in mourning of brother, sister, son, daughter, wife, where if you don't have a garment during the Shiva, then you tear it, you do not tear it after the Shiva. Aval al oviv al imoy, kriya v'hoylech. However, for a parent, you tear kriya even after the Shiva. So you see clearly there's a concept of kriya even after the Shiva. So what was your question? That what's you, Reb Mani, asking Reb Chanina, how can you say that you do kriya if there's no Shiva? The concept of kriya without Shiva applies for a shmurach, for somebody who didn't have a garment and his parents, one of his parents had passed away. So there, even after Shiva, he tears kriya. So we have a good explanation that according to Reb Chanina, who says you tear kriya, he says, I found you an example where there's kriya even though one doesn't sit Shiva anymore. Okay, but Reb Mani, he did ask against Reb Chanina. How's Reb Mani going to prove from what Reb Zerah said that, how is Reb Mani going to stick with his question and his opinion that since there's no Shiva by Shmur HaChoyka, there's no kriya? But over there we saw that Reb Zerah said that for a parent there is kriya even after Shiva. He says, Ki tanya hi l'chvoid avi v'imoy. Over there it wasn't the halochas, the real halochas of Avelus. There it was just a form of respect for his parents that had passed away and you're sitting Shiva and didn't have a garment. He says, you get a garment after the Shemitah, tear the garment. But when it comes to the actual halachas of mourning, is one required to tear kriya? If there's no Shiva, the answer is, says Rav Mani, there's no proof from there and there's no requirement to tear kriya where there's no Shiva. Hence, when there's a Shmur HaChoyka, says Rav Mani, there's no kriya. Continues the Gemara. Tanu Rabbanon, kol ha'omur b'parashas koyanim. In the parasha of the koyanim, we know that a regular koyan is not allowed to make himself tomei, he's not allowed to tend to or come in close proximity of a corpse, of a dead person. So, however, in certain cases, most koyanim, they are allowed to be metame. Kol ha'omur b'parashas koyanim, she'koyan metame bohem. Wherever it says in the parasha of the koyanim that koyan is allowed to become tomei from them, ovul misabel aleim. Those are the people that anyone in the world who loses such a relative mourns over them. Ve'elu hein, who are they? Ishtoi, his wife. Ovi ve'imoi, his father or his mother. Ve'ochiv, and a brother who shares the same father as this person. Ve'achoisoi, and an unmarried, a basula, a yet unmarried girl, also who shares the same father as this person. Bnoi or bitoi, or his son or his daughter. All of those, a koyan is metame to them, and anybody who loses one of these relatives mourns over them. Hoisifu aleim, they added onto this list, ochiv, a brother, ve'achoisoi, a basula, and a yet unmarried sister. Me'imoi, that means a sister who's yet unmarried, but not a sister from sharing the same father, because that was mentioned before. That's the va'achoisoi we mentioned before. Here we've got achoisoi who's only sharing the same mother, not the same father. Va'achoisoi nesua, and a married sister, bein me'aviv bein me'imoi, which were not included in the parasha of the Kohanim. Explicitly, a sister, a married sister, irrespective of whether she's sharing the same father or the same mother, that one mourns over them. Or kashem shemisabel aleim, and another halacha, that in the same way as one mourns over any of these, which is father, mother, son, daughter, wife, or any brother or sister, kach misabel al hashnim, which means that the parents or children of these relatives. And that means that if any of these relatives lose either a parent or a child, then you have to be in mourning together with the relative the direct relative for the passing of their relative. For example, if a person passes away, his son has to mourn. But what happens if the father's father passes away, and then this person's father is now mourning for his father? His son has to mourn with his father for the grandfather, and the same to his son. If a person's son passes away, he has to mourn. So now if the son doesn't pass away, but the son is in mourning for his son, which is the grandson, then the grandfather has to be in mourning together with his son for the grandson. That's the Chachomim. That's Rebbe Akiva, sorry. Rebbe Akiva, that's the opinion of Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Shim ben Elozo, Omer, Shim ben Elozo says, Eine mis'abel elo al ben benoi ve'al avi oviv. That this halacha only applies to, that means if the son of his son, or the father of his father, or the daughter of his daughter, or the father of his mother, but only that relationship, this halacha applies when it's father, son, parent-child. And the Chachomim, and this seems to be a third opinion, we're going to have to see in what way it differs from the first opinion from Rabbi Akiva, the culture mis'abil olav, mis'ablim imoy. Any of these seven relatives in mourning, one has to mourn with them. That means any of the seven people that one mourns over them when they pass away, if they are in mourning, one has to mourn with them. And the Gemara says, Chachomim hainu tanekama. This Chachomim is the same as Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva said that he says, "Kashem shemis abel aleim." In the same way as you mourn when they pass away, "Kach mis abel al shneim shelem." So too on their relatives, when their relatives pass away and they're in mourning, you have to be in mourning with them. What's the Chachomim different to Rabbi Akiva? Says the Gemara. Notice that the Chachomim added in one word, the word "mis abel imoy." It doesn't say you mourn over them; you mourn with them. What does that mean? Haynu tanakam ika benayu. The difference between the two is imoy babayis. According to the Chachomim, you're only required to be in mourning together with one of these seven relatives who are in mourning only when you're with them in the same home. Then you have to mourn with them out of respect. But if you're not with them, then this halacha of misablim imoy doesn't apply. The Chachomim didn't say that. The first Tana in the Mishnah, in the Braisa, the Rebbe Akiva didn't say that. Rabbi Akiva just says, "Kashem shemis abel aleim, kach mis abel al ashnim shelem," as if you have to be in mourning over the relatives of your close relatives. Rav Chachamim said, "No, only if it's only imoy with him." Ki ha da omar le Rav Chia le Brei, like Rav Chia said to his son, v'chein omar le Rav Huna le Rabbi Brei, Rav Huna said to his son, ba'apa, in front of her. For example, if your wife is in mourning over one of her relatives, which happens that person is not directly this man's relative, but it's just his wife is in mourning, then ba'apa in front of her, no gavelasa. You should practice the halachas of mourning. But lo apo, if you're not in front of her, lo tine gavelusa. You do not need to practice mourning, which is like the Chachomim we just learned in that braisa. Says the Gemara, mar ukva shochiv lei bar chamua. Mar ukva's brother-in-law, the son of his father-in-law, passed away. So which means that Mar Ukva's wife was now mourning for her brother. So he wanted to practice the halachas of Shiva and Shloshim as his wife was doing for her brother. All Rav Huna legabei, Rav Huna came and was visiting Mar Ukva. Ashkeche, he found him in mourning. Omar le, so Rav Huna said to Mar Ukva, "Tzudenaisa boyis lemeichel, are you sitting here mourning just because you really wanted the mourner's meal, special meal that's given to people who are mourning?" Says, "Is that what you're doing? Like, what are you doing here? Why are you sitting Shiva and Shloshim? Like, why are you practicing mourning? It was not one of your relatives, it's your wife's brother." So he answered, "Le'omru," and he said, "Le'omru lichvoid ishtoi elochomiv v'chamoisoi." Le'omru lichvoid ishtoi, when they said that you should be in mourning in respect of his wife who was in mourning, that's only elochomiv v'chamoisa, only if her father or mother, this person's father-in-law or mother-in-law, passes away, be in mourning together with your wife. But her other relatives, that not. D'tanya, did we not learn in one braisa, misha meis chomiv oichamoisa? If somebody's father-in-law or mother-in-law passes away, you cannot force his wife, liyos kecheles v'liyos pesekes, that she should put some to paint her eyes or other cosmetics. You can't force her. Elokofa mitosoi, you should turn over your bed, v'noyegima avelus, and practice the mourning with her. V'chein hi, So too, as far as she's concerned, Shemeis Chomia or Chamoisa, if her father-in-law or mother-in-law passes away, she should not paint her eyes and put on cosmetics. She should turn the bed over and practice the mourning together with her husband, together with him. That's in one braisa. In another braisa it says, even though we learned that a person cannot force his wife liyis kichelet v'liyis pekeses. Be'emes omru, however, the truth is that muzeges lo yisakos, she's allowed to pour him a drink. Umatzas lo yimito, and she, even though she's in mourning, she's allowed to make his bed for him, to prepare his bed for him. Umarchetes lo yipon of yodav raglov, and she can wash his hands, feet and face. Now, someone who's in mourning, his bed doesn't get made, his bed gets turned upside down. He doesn't wash his face and hands and feet. You're not allowed to wash during mourning. So how can she do that for him? So you see that clearly he was not practicing the halachas of Shiva, of mourning, together with his wife. In the first braisa, it says that yes. Kashuna Dodi, the two braisas seem to be arguing with each other. Elulav Shema Mino, it must be the differences. Then the first braisa, it explicitly mentions Chomiv V'chamoisei. Can b'chomiv v'chamoisei, if a father-in-law or mother-in-law passes away, then the spouse has to practice the mourning with the person, the child of the person who passed away. However, the second braisa is b'shar krovim. If a person's spouse is in mourning for a different relative, not a parent, then the other spouse doesn't need to keep the halachas of mourning. Shema mino. So that is what Rav Huna said to Mar Ukva, that you are practicing mourning with your wife because of her brother that passed away. It's clear here that that's not the halacha. Tanya Namihoch, we also learned in a braisa, the Omru Lichvaidishto, Elo Chomi Vechamoise Bilvad, that it's only when a father in law, mother in law passes away that a man practices mourning in respect for his wife. Continues the Gemara, Amemar, regarding Amemar, Shochivle Barbare, his son's son passed away. Korei Lavi, he tore Kriya, he rent his garments in mourning for his grandson. Osabare, when Amemar's son came, which is the father of the deceased, the father of the person who passed away, then again, Korah, in respect for him, Korah, he again tore Kriya before Amemar tore Kriya, ba'apayim a second time in front of his son. Idkar, then he remembered the Miyush of Korah, that when he did Kriya, he was actually sitting. And we're soon going to see, Kriya has to be done when you're standing. Kom, he stood up. Korah ma'umad, and he tore his garment a third time while standing. Omele Ravashi la Amemar. Ravashi said to Amemar, Kriya de mu'umad minolon. What's your source that when one tears Kriya, it has to be done while standing? So the answer is the Gemara, or said, Amemar dechsiv, it says in the Pasuk, in Ioiv vayokom, Ioiv vayikra es mi'iloi, that Ioiv stood up and he tore his coat. Vayogos es reishay, vayipoil arzo, vayishtoch. And says the Gemara, so you're learning from the pasuk in Iyov that says Vayokom Iyov Vayikra Es Meiloi, that when you tear in Kriya, you have to be standing. If so, Elo Me'ato, when it says in the pasuk V'kor Uloi Zikne Iroi, and this is in the halachas of Chalitza, which we're going to learn about Emir Hashem in Maseches Yevamos. V'kor Uloi Zikne Iroi V'dibru Eilov. He stood up and said, "Lo ichofatzti lekachto, that I do not desire to marry this woman." Hachnami, are you going to suggest that you have to do this? You have to say this, to say that lo ichofatzti lekachto, you have to say it while standing, because the pasuk says, "Va'omad va'omar." Well, why can't it just be that va'omad va'omar, as with vayokom iyoiv, it just means that it's just a way of talking, that he got up and he did this, but not that you have to do it whilst you're standing. Votanya, did we not learn in the Braisa and in Yevamos regarding Chalitza, Bein Yeshev, it doesn't matter if he's sitting, Bein Oymed if he's standing, Bein Moito if he's leaning. So it's clear that when it says that Va'omad Va'omar, it's not a command, it's not an instruction, you have to stand. It's just a way of the Pasuk expressing itself, that he stood up and said. Because the halacha is clearly, you don't need to stand, as we just saw in the braisa. And if so, when it says, Vayokom Ioiv Vayikra, that Ioiv stood up to tear his clothes, then maybe it doesn't mean that you have to stand up. That's what Rav Ashi asked Amimar. Omar Li. So Amimar answered back to Rav Ashi, there's a difference between the Pasuk by Iyov and the Pasuk by Chalitza. Hosom loiksiv vayamoid vayoymar. It doesn't say vayamoid vayoymar, you should stand up and say. It just says, va'omad va'omar, he got up and he said. And therefore, I'm not so clear in the dikduk why and exactly what the difference is here. But if it had it said vayamoid vayoymar, like it says vayokom iyoy vayikra, then indeed it would be an instruction, you have to do it standing. But it doesn't, it just says va'omad va'omar. Hocha, however, here, vayokom vayikra. It says that he stood up and he tore his cloak from the term used, vayokom vayikra. The Amemer understood it's an instruction and you have to do kriya standing up. Continues the Gemara. Omer Rami Bar Chama, minayin the kriya shi mu'umad. This is Rami Bar Chama is now discussing a source that kriya has to be done while standing up. Shenemer, as it says, the same source that Amemer told Rav Ashi from the pasuk of vayokom iyoy vayikra. Dilma milsi yaseirus hud avad. So now he's asking a question. Maybe that's not a source. Maybe it just means that he stood up because, and indeed it means he stood up, but not because he was required to stand up. It was just something extra he did, and he chose to do this standing up. Iyov. Iyov chose to do it, but not that you have to do it that way. Diiloi teimahochi. And I can prove to you that this is not a list of instructions, because what does it say immediately after vayikra esmi'iloi? What did Iyov do? Vayogos. He tore hair off his head. And that's clearly not something you have to do. It's something he chose to do. He did that. So in the same way as Vayogos Ezroisho is not an instruction, so too Vayokom Iyoy Vayikra is not an instruction, and you can do Kriya if you're not standing. Hochanami, maybe it's the same. Says the Gemara, you're right. You're right, from this Pasuk of Vayokom Iyoy Vayikra Esmi'iloi, you don't have any source that you have to do kriya standing up, because it's clear in the pasuk it's not instructions. Ella from a different pasuk, mihocha, it's the pasuk in Shmuel. When it says there by David HaMelech, vayokom HaMelech, that the king stood up, vayikras begodom, and he rent his clothes. So you see clearly, it says vayokom, he stood up and he rent his clothes. That's a source that when you do kriya, you have to be standing. So the Gemara says, vadilma milsi yaseiros ha'avad, maybe it's the same there. Maybe that he didn't have to do it, he just chose to do it. Because if not, how are you going to understand the continuation of the Pasuk? It says, Vayokom HaMelech Vayikras Begodov. He stood up and he tore his clothes. Vayishkav Arotso. And he lay on the floor. Now, Hochanami, are you going to say that's an instruction? That you have to lay on the floor? Votanya, did we not learn in a Braisa that Yoshav, or somebody who's sleeping, Al Gabe Amito, on a normal bed, just it didn't have a mattress, or Al Gabe Kise, or on a chair, or Al Gabe Udaini, Rashi says is some type of a large mortar, Udaini Gdoila Al Gabe Karka, Mikulon, Lo Yotzei Dei Chivosa, even though he's sleeping in an extremely uncomfortable position, he was not Yotza. Rather, there's a halacha, you have to turn your bed over. Don't try and make your bed uncomfortable or sleep somewhere else. No, turn your bed over. And once he turns his bed over, then there's no reason that he should sleep on the floor. Turn the bed over and sleep on your bed. So that's clear, if that's the halacha, that you have to turn your bed over. So if so, why is David HaMelech? Why does it say in the Pasuk, Vayishkav Arotso, he slept on the floor? He clearly didn't have to, because in order to be Yotza the mitzvah, in any case he had to turn his bed over, and then in any case he didn't have to sleep on the floor. And he chose to sleep on the floor, not because he had to. And if so, when it says, Vayokom HaMelech Vayikra Esbegodov, the same thing, he chose to stand up, but there's no source that you have to stand up. V'omer b'yechanon sh'loi kiyem kviyas amita, the reason that it's not good enough just to sleep uncomfortably, you're not Yotza, is because there's a mitzvah of kfiyas amita, turning your bed over. So as we said, you see from here that this was something David HaMelech chose to do, not something you had to do. So you have no source that you have to stand. Omar Lehi answered him and said, no, you're not right in what you're proving from Vayishkav Arotso. You said Vayishkav Arotso means he slept on the floor, and you said that certainly couldn't have been a requirement. It was something which he just chose to do, and therefore you don't have a source that Vayokom means that you have to stand up when you're doing Kriya. He says, no. When it says Vayishkav Arotso, it doesn't mean he slept on the floor. It means Ke'en Arotso. It was as if he was sleeping on the floor. Where was he actually sleeping? On his overturned bed, which is actually a Chiyuv. It's a requirement to overturn the bed. So if the Vayishkav Arotso could mean that he's he's sleeping on his overturned bed, which is just similar to sleeping on the floor, then it could well be that Vayokom HaMelech Vayikra, he stood up because he had to, not because he wanted to. And you have proof from here that you have to stand when you're doing the Kriya. And in Mirtz Hashem, in the next year, we're going to continue from here.